So, in case you missed, last week we've just begun a new series called One Nation Under God. And what we're looking at is how we as citizens of heaven are able to live in a land that is not our home in the United States. Apostle Paul says that we are citizens of heaven, and we know that if we believe in Christ and we're citizens there, but we still have to live in this land. Last week we looked at not letting the world change our identity in Him, not defiling ourselves. We're looking at Daniel as an example. Daniel in the Bible, who was one of the exiles to Babylon. So, last week we looked at a lot of the different things about our identity in Christ and being defiled, but I forgot to talk about the good things, the instructions that Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, gave to these exiles. I knew it was starting to get too hot in here. So Jeremiah wrote a letter to the exiles about 50 years before they were ever sent over to Babylon, before Nebuchadnezzar ever came in and seized them and took away these young people from the land. In case that fan falls down, I just want to have some space. So this is what Nebuchadnezzar said. I'm going to be looking at Jeremiah 29. I don't know if I put it into the computer, but it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." So he's saying, you know, you're going to go into this place, but you're still to, you know, have kids, find wives for your sons, find husbands for your daughters, and eat there, do all these great things. So there's a lot of good that he's saying to do there. He's not trying to take away all the fun stuff and just put in, you know, all these different things, all these hassles that they're going through. He's saying, go and have children, do things. So it's pretty cool to see that they're sent there with good news. But it also says to pray for the city that you're in. So we definitely want to be prayerful to God in this land. So this week we're going to look at when things seem impossible, and we're going to be looking at Daniel 2. So you guys can turn there to that, but. I love the United States. I love living here, the land of the free, the home of the brave. It's a great place to grow up and raise children, and I love our country right here. Can I get an amen for that? Do y'all love the United States? So, still a lot of times these days, though, whenever I think about the United States, it doesn't feel sometimes like we're so free, right? Our nation has restricted a lot of things, like prayer in schools. They've begun to tear down the Ten Commandments out in front of courtrooms, federal courthouses, and in small towns. They're knocking down all of these things. So we don't feel that religious freedom that we once had. It's like they're doing their very best to remove God from the public forum, period, and make the world a more non-believing nation. That's what they want the United States to be, is just a very atheistic nation, it seems. So I'm watching the administration for the last 8 years and seeing all these changes that have happened. It seems like we're not such a brave country anymore either. Whenever I think of that, like we don't have too much bravery. It's like we're kind of scared in some areas. So we ended up apologizing to a country because we did something that was not good, but whenever we did that, we saved countless lives while we were there, but we end up going in there and apologizing. We have people in this country that you can see the videos all over the web of people lighting our flags on fire. There's people stomping all over our flags and doing all these things, so it's like we're not doing much about that. They're not doing anything to people. They're just expressing themselves. Well, that's kind of a poor way to express themselves that way. So I think that we have kind of turned a little bit chicken in some areas, and we're not being as brave as what we once were, because there's no there's no respect for a lot of things like the flag. Ask any military person. They have more respect for the flag than what I could ever imagine. And an example of that is up at the Promise, they sing a national anthem every Friday and Saturday night. And I was walking down the hallway, and who would I run into but someone that's standing there at attention facing the flag with his hand over his heart. And I tried to just walk right on by him, and Cheeto said, stop right there. Put your hand over your heart and respect the flag. So military people have a huge respect. And I respect the flag, but sometimes I don't think about those kind of things, so it's different. So whenever these people are out stomping on this flag, they're metaphorically stomping on our nation. Like, they disagree with what we stand for, and they're showing that distaste for our country. And to me, it's kind of sickening. So we as Christians, we have many disagreements with the way that our government is handling our freedom of religion and showing religion preferences to some other religions. They're trying to stamp out Christianity, it seems. The government is allowing abortions now all the way up to just moments before the baby could be born healthy and given to a family that is unable to have a family, but that wants one. And it's crazy to me. I think our founding fathers would have a hard time really reconciling that thing, that they're going to allow that. It says, I believe that God created life, all life, and I don't believe that we have the right to take that away from any person. So it seems like our country is kind of messed up a little bit. It seems like we're faced with these impossible choices, these things that we don't really know how to deal with these things. It really seems impossible to make any kind of change or do anything. We look at the election coming up, and it's just one of the craziest elections that I've ever seen. So it's crazy to me. And we want to live our Christian lives out loud, but we have a hard time because we feel restricted, especially whenever we want our children to be able to be in a school where it's okay to pray with your teachers to come and pray with the students and lead them that way, so that we're leading our children to have a godly life in our home and outside of our home. We have people surrounding them that is raising them up to believe in God and to trust God. And it doesn't seem like we have that anyway, and it seems impossible to make any changes. For as long as I've been alive, people have been trying to make changes and having nothing, getting nowhere. I recently read about a pastor in Russia, I think that it was. He was in Russia, and they just recently, in this year, released some law that you're not allowed to be out evangelizing, but this pastor was having a Bible study in his home, and I guess he was going out and evangelizing, so he got arrested and thrown into jail. Thank God we don't have that here in the United States of America, right? But I don't know how far out that may be before something like that starts happening here. They don't want the Protestant pastors, at least, to be spreading their message because they have their own church and everything is kind of led by that, so they're against these pastors. But if we believe the Bible, then we know that there is an eternity. And we know there's an eternity. We know that there is only two different places that we can go with all of our eternity. One place is a place of suffering and punishment for not trusting God. It's our choice to go there, and we are eternally separated from God, but that's exactly what we want with that choice. And then the other choice is to go spend eternity with God in heaven, in his throne room, worshiping him and spending all eternity in a place with no more tears. And everything is going to be, it says it's going to be awesome up there. I don't think it uses the word awesome, but that's how it sounds to me. So whenever I'm thinking about my eternity, that's what I want, and that's what I want for everyone that I come in contact with. So this pastor is left with a choice of, God called him to go to Russia and to evangelize to the people there, but the government is saying, hey, you can't do that, so he has to make a choice. Do I want to go out and see people, go to heaven, or do I just want to walk away scared and not do anything? And so I believe the pastor, whenever he's out of jail, is going to go right back to doing what he is called by God to do until God calls him to do something else. So we need to be in prayer for that pastor over there and his mission that he's been given for God and the state of that country, that we're not going to go in that direction. Because it's not that bad here, but the people in opposition to God here would certainly have it that way, it seems. So we live in a time that it seems impossible. And man, it is feeling hot up here. Not as hot as hell, though, but it's hot. So, how do we allow religious freedoms to come into our nation once again, to where we've always been a free country, free to believe whatever we want to, but it's like they're starting to take away. And the Bible talks about end times, that this sort of thing is going to happen, where they start to push away Christianity and Christ. They want nothing to do with that, but they'll show preference to some other religions or no belief whatsoever. So how do we fix the direction that our country is headed? We have divorce rates that are at like 50% in our country. So how do we fix our country that's clearly headed to a time when God may remove His blessing from our country? We've been blessed for over 200 years now, 240 years. We've been blessed as a nation, but how do we fix it? It seems impossible. Like there's nothing that we can do. Well, Matthew quotes Jesus as saying this, but Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So when we aliens of this world are living here with all these nationwide atrocities, these things that are happening in front of us that we know aren't right, what should we do? Like what's the answer to the impossible going on in the United States right now? What is the answer? Pray. Christ. Jesus. Jesus is always the answer, right? Actually, I proved that wrong in my seminary class one time because he was talking about Satan and I answered Jesus. So Jesus wasn't always the answer. But Jesus is always the answer. We need to be praying to him. So turn to Daniel 2 if you haven't turned there yet. And Patrick is going to put it up there on the computer. We're going to go through all of Daniel 2 because I like reading the Bible. And this is following all of the stuff that took place last time where they were exiled to this country. They began training, and Daniel was obedient to God, and he told him what his dream was, and then these guys were starting to be elevated. They were blessed because they were obedient. So this is in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, which the Chaldeans were astrologers and astronomers, be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation." They answered a second time and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time." He's seeing through that. "Because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with the flesh." Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of the heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation." Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, "I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered the king and said, "No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed came thoughts of what would be after this, and he who reveals mysteries made known to you what it is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have, more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and exceeding brightness, stood before you. Its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall rise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all of the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron. It shall be a divided kingdom, but some of the firmness of iron shall be found in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. Y'all following with me so far? Not losing anybody reading the Bible here? And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break into pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation sure." Wow. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, 'Truly, Your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. Wow. Can you guys imagine that impossible situation? Kings weren't like the presidents back then. You could not go against them, or they would just have your head cut off, and there was nobody that could say no. And this king is like, he has a dream in his mind, right? And then he's like, I want you guys to interpret my dream, but I'm not going to tell you what it was. You even have to figure that part out. And then tell me what its interpretation is. And I'm like, I'm kind of like, it's like if he would have just told them what the dream was, you know, something like, you know, okay, here was my dream. It was of an eagle soaring up through the sky, and then I saw an arrow go through the eagle, and it fell to the ground. And then as I looked over, I saw a pink camo suit shooting the bow. And then my dream ended, and you're like, okay, so I think I can figure out this one. Like, the soaring eagle represents, like, our nation, and then how the same way as, like, how Adam was just, like, minding his own business in the garden and doing everything, and he's soaring at the garden taking care of things, and then the woman comes in, and she's sent. No, I'm kidding. Kidding about that. But you could figure out a way to interpret this dream, right? You could come up with something, but he's not giving them anything. He's like, you got to figure this whole thing out. So that's really an impossible situation. But we can learn some things from Daniel here about living in impossible situations, like what it might seem like whenever we are here in the United States and having all these things that we don't know how we're going to reconcile or deal with these things. It seems really, really impossible. The first thing that we have to understand or come to the conclusion of is that we can do nothing apart from God. We have to fully depend on Jesus, because without Him, we have nothing. But with Him, we have everything. When you don't have Christ, you have no power over sin or Satan, and you don't truly have the life that Christ has given to us. The Lord is our strength. He directs our lives, and He is our deliverer. In every type of time, in the good times and in bad times. The Apostle John said this, "Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So you see, we're nothing apart from Jesus, but with Him, the impossible becomes possible. How often do you guys think about that? The impossible becoming possible. I've heard that God won't go outside of the rules that He's set for us here on the earth, that He's almost restricted to the rules of gravity and all these things. But then whenever I really think about that, I don't think that God's restricted at all. I think that we are restricted. But God made a donkey talk, like a voice talking to the guy on his back that's been beating him. God let two people fly. Elijah was taken to heaven on a fiery chariot. Jesus ascended to heaven, so they defied gravity through God. So it seems like nothing really is impossible for God whenever I think about those kind of things. So we have no power apart from God to do anything miraculous. None of the disciples did anything in and of themselves. They were sent out by Jesus to to use Jesus' name. God worked through them for His glory. So we need God to act in and through us. And we need to humble ourselves and recognize that we are nothing apart from God. We can't make any change within our own powers. We can't change the hearts of anybody, including ourselves, apart from God. But with God's help, all things are possible. So that's what we see with Daniel. Is he recognizes that there's he can't do anything. There's no way that he can know this dream or interpret it, but he knows that he has a God that can. So the next thing that I learned from Daniel this week is that we need to pray with our friends, right? Another thing that I learned is, like, he prayed by himself a whole lot, but whenever the situation seemed dire and seemed impossible again, Daniel went and gathered up his buddies and he asked them to pray with him so that he didn't have to pray alone. Whenever these soldiers are tasked with going in and destroying all of these enchanters and all of these Chaldeans and all these guys, like, we got to take something to God and we shouldn't be doing this alone. We need to go in with our buddies and we need to get together and we need to talk to God. So that's exactly what they did. He got with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they started to pray. You know, Jesus said, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." So it seems good to gather around with your buddies and pray. And that's what we do here at the church. We pray together at Sunday school. We take prayer requests before Sunday school, and we pray about these things that we have going on in our lives and our friends' lives and things that we're praying with, and we all pray together and agree in prayer about these things that come up. We pray together as a church body before the service and during the services. So we need to pray together as a church family. And even if it's not with your church friends, you can gather up other friends. Just say, "Hey, I need to pray about some really tough stuff going on right now. Here's what's going on." Let them in and pray about whatever's going on. So let's not look at the fact that they just prayed together, though, and that he gathered up his buddies, but let's look at how they prayed together. Because I think there's some more nuggets that we can dig into there. They prayed for the ends and not the means, right? Look at these verses here, 17, Daniel 2, 17. "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." So most people, I think, including myself, would have just, you know, went and prayed, like, "God, please tell me what that dream was and what the interpretation is, because I don't want to be killed, so tell me what that is, and then I'm going to go back to the king and tell him, and then everything's going to be cool." Is that what everybody else would have probably done, right? That's what we're thinking. But not these guys. They didn't pray that way. Instead, they prayed for mercies of God concerning the secret. Do you see that little difference there of praying for the dream and the interpretation versus mercies of God's secret? God could have brought about his mercies in a number of ways. It could have come by the way that it did happen, where God gave Daniel the dream and its interpretation. Or it could have come by allowing him and his three friends to escape death, so that God could have provided a way for that to happen. Or God could have provided, through his mercies, just an asteroid or whatever that comes down and smacks into the king's castle and destroys him, and then the worry's gone as well. So there's a variety of ways that could have happened, but they didn't pray that way. They said, "God, we just don't want to die. You handle all the details, however you want to work it all out. And I'm just going to be happy and excited whenever this whole thing is over with." So they just wanted God to handle the issue however he saw fit. I think that sometimes we can be kind of arrogant a little bit, and we want to tell God how to fix some situation. Right? I know that I've definitely done that. I wanted to get to a point, but I still like, okay, God, I need to take care of my mom. I want her to be healthy. So what I need you to do, God, is I need you to be there in the surgery room with my mom, keeping her alive. I want to pray that the surgeon is of sound mind the entire time, that his blades aren't dull, that he thinks to check those. And I want to pray for the nurses, that they're alert and watching all the machines, and kind of tell God how to do his job and tell the people to do their jobs. But instead, we should just pray for the end. In the end, I just want my mom to be healthy, and that she lives a long life, and that she feels a lot better than what she has in a long time. And God, you just take care of however that's going to happen. So we should pray for the end and not the means. Let him take care of the means. The next thing I learned is that we should praise and thank God for being the wonderful God that he is. You'll notice that immediately whenever God answered Daniel's request, right there, whenever he reveals that dream to him, that immediately Daniel goes and it says that he blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons." Am I reading the wrong thing? Is it still up there for that? I don't think this is the ESV. "He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and now have made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." So God reveals what he needs to know. He meets that need, and immediately Daniel is just thanking God for doing that. And sometimes me, at least, I pray for something, and then that something happens through some means, and I forget to just thank God that he came through for me in whatever that situation was. Is there anybody else like that? For the recording, everyone's nodding no. I'm kidding. There's a lot of yeses. I think we all kind of do that. We forget that there's a guy in the background that's doing like all these magnificent things, and we overlook that because we're not looking for that to be happening. We forget to notice whenever he takes care of things, and I think that prevents us from seeing just how good God is sometimes. So the next thing that they did is they thank God, and then he goes to the king, and the king's like, "So you can reveal this dream to me and this interpretation." And Daniel's like, "Oh, no, I can't reveal anything. There's no man that can reveal anything about this. But there is a God in heaven that can reveal this to you." Daniel could have been like, "I sure can. Check this right here out." So you saw this and started laying it all out the way that he saw it and taking full and complete credit for it. But instead, this is what Daniel says. "Daniel answered the king and said, 'No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what would be in the latter days, your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these.'" And then he continues to tell him that dream. So he didn't take any credit. He totally could have been selfish with all that and gotten wealth, and he could have been a rock star in the land, looked like he was really smart and intelligent, but that's not what he did. Instead, he knew that glory was not his, it didn't belong to him, but it was the great God that was going to restore it. So there was no reveal it, there was no stolen glory. So I hope that it can be the same with us, that whenever God uses us as the vessel to accomplish something for him, that we give him all the credit and all the glory, and we keep none for ourselves. We need to recognize that we're nothing apart from him. The Apostle Paul told the Philippian church in chapter 2 of his part of his letter, For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So God works in us both to will and work for his good pleasure. We can change people's paths sometime, but only God can actually change hearts and do the impossible. That's not something that we are able to do. And in a world where people join together to petition God for their needs, and they give thanks for being such an awesome God, and then they give God full credit for everything whenever He accomplishes things His way, I think that those people would be unstoppable at what they could do. I think that they would move mountains. Just like Jesus, that was going to happen. You'll be able to move mountains. The people would be unstoppable if they took that to the full extent of what God wants us to take. I think that more people would see God's power demonstrated, and that lives would change. They'd be changed forever by the miracles that they can brought. Think about living at the time that Jesus lived and seeing the different things, like someone that was crippled for their entire life, and He's like, get up and walk. Seeing those things and getting to see those with your eyes, that's miraculous to me. Getting to see the guy at my work, whenever I went up to him with a Bible after he had said that he was done reading it, and seeing God work through that, that's awesome to me. So we need to be able to see God at work. We need to be prayerful about that. If more people could see more miraculous things happening and God using us to as much as what He possibly can by us being completely and totally obedient to Him and recognizing we're nothing without Him, then people would see that. More souls would be saved for the kingdom. People would recognize that Jesus' death on the cross was really more than like this made-up tale, that His resurrection really happened and wasn't the imagination of His followers, and that He's really gone to prepare a place for us in heaven with the Father. If followers of Christ gathered frequently to pray together and bring an end to the legalization of taking life from babies, if they prayed that God would display His love to people by protecting the sanctity of marriage, both it's between the husband and wife, that covenant isn't just between the two of them, but it's between them and God whenever they actually say their I do's, and that husbands would love their wives the way that Christ loved the church, that wives would love their husbands, because we all mess up. I mess up in that area. But if we lived in that world where we recognize we're nothing and did what God told us to and loved people and loved each other the way that He says to, I think things would be different. Imagine the enormous change in our country. It would be astounding to see what God could do if we really humbled ourselves and prayed to Him that He would heal our land. And that's what this series is about, is that we would just be humble and pray to God that He would heal this land from all aspects of sin and use us all as witnesses and testimonies to what God can do in people's lives. I hope that we can all live our lives that way. Let's pray. God, we thank You today. We thank You so much for all that You are, for being such a good, good Father. God, we can look around and see different things and people glorifying things that You say aren't good for us, things that You say are sin. We can see that happening all around us. But God, we can't change those things. It's You that can do the impossible and not us. God, we would ask that You would use us to glorify Your kingdom, that You would go before us, that You would guide us in everything that we need to do. God, help us to gather as often as we possibly can with friends to pray over these things that are going on in our country, to pray over this election, the direction that our country is headed, to just pray that You would make things right. And we spend a lot of time trying to fix things ourselves in our world instead of relying on You and actually praying to You to take care of things. God, we know You're all-powerful, that nothing is beyond Your control. God, help us to see where we're wrong, where we mess up, so that we can confess our sins to You, so that You can forgive us. God, help us to see things clearly. Help us to be prayerful. Help us to not defile ourselves. Help us to love you more so that we can love others more. God, you have given us a mission at Cornerstone to lead people to Christ and to be conformed into his image. Help us to learn how to do that daily. God, thank you for Daniel, for what we can learn from him. We know that things are going to get worse for them. And things may get worse for us. We just ask that you would help us, that you would protect our hearts and our minds, that you would keep us a witness for Jesus. God, we love you, and we know that you love us. We thank you so much for your Son and what he did here on earth. We thank you that he died on the cross so that we could be saved, so that we could have your salvation. We thank you for having the plan to make all of that come together. As we discussed in Sunday school this morning, God, there's not one of us that would have been able to make that difficult choice to give our sons up for a bunch of disobedient people. So we thank you for your plan that's greater than ours. God, help us to love each other. Help us to become a closer family that's completely and totally focused on you, that is devoted to you, that seeks out you in all these things, just earnestly seeks out you and asks to be part of whatever your plan is and to see your majesty at work here on this world that you created. We thank you that you made a way that we will eventually be away from here and that we're going to live for all of eternity with you. God, I would ask that if there is anyone that doesn't know you, that doesn't have a relationship with your Son, that they would just accept him today. Lord, be with us as we leave the church service today. As we go out into the world once again, where it's different than inside of these walls, help us to be bold in our faith. Help us to be courageous. Help us to stand, to make a stand just like Daniel and his friends did. Be with us because we're going to need you. We ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.